Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God.
You've got mail.
To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints.
Grace to you and peace.
From God our Father.
And the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers.
I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may at last succeed in coming to you.
For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to strengthen you.
That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith.
Both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far I've been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. For I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith.
The righteous shall live by faith.
And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them.
For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived since the beginning of creation in the things that have been made.
So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God.
Or give thanks to him.
But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened.
Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself. Because you, the judge, practice the very same things.
We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things.
Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God
and know his will and approve what is excellent,
because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you are a guide to the blind,
a light to those who are in darkness,
you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who boast in the law dishonor God by breaking the law. For a Jew is not merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God.
Then what advantage has the Jew? And what is the value of circumcision?
Much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God.
What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God?
By no means.
But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? I speak in a human way.
By no means, for then how could God judge the world?
But if through my lie, God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? And why not do evil that good may come, as some slanderously charge us with saying?
Their condemnation is just. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith.
What then? Are we Jews any better off?
No. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God.
All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one.
Therefore, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For we know that by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin.
You've got mail.
But now the righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it.
The righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe, for there is no distinction.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God,
and are justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation to be received by faith.
This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Then what becomes of our boasting?
It is excluded.
By what law? By law of works?
No, but by law of faith, for we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law.
Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also?
Yes, of Gentiles also, who will justify the circumcised through faith and the uncircumcised through faith.
Do we then overthrow the law by this faith?
By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law.
What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if he was justified by works, he has something to boast about.
But not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted to him as
righteousness.
Now, is this blessing only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he'd been circumcised?
It was not after, but before he was circumcised.
He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith and gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. And the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake only, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification.
Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings,
knowing that suffering produces endurance.
And endurance produces character.
And character produces hope.
And hope does not put us to shame,
because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us.
For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly.
For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare even to die.
But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God.
For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men,
so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men.
For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners,
so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous.
For the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased,
grace abounded all the more.
So that as sin reigned in death,
grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What then shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?
By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also might walk in newness of life.
So
you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. And do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have passed from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace.
What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace?
By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, whether of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? Oh, but thanks be to God that you who once were slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time of the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death.
But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to you who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code.
What?
What then shall we say? That the law is sin?
By no means. Yet, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet, if the law had not said, "You shall not covet."
So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good.
Mm-hmm.
Did that which is good then bring death to me?
By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, so that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual.
But I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do the good I want, and the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing.
Now, if I do what I do not want, It is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me.
So, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. I delight in the law of God, in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?
Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin.
There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death.
For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin.
He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And he did not give us the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but he has given us the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba.
Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
And if children, then heirs.
Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ.
Provided we suffer with him.
In order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time as not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God.
For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now.
Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved.
Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Oh, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness.
For we do not know what to pray for as we ought.
But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. And those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified.
What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but willingly gave him up for us all? How will he not also with him graciously give us all things?
Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies.
Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died.
More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God.
Who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God?
Shall tribulation or distress?
Or persecution or famine?
Or nakedness?
Or danger?
Or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I myself could wish that I were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh.
You've got mail.
They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises.
To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever.
Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named.
And not only so, but when Rebekah had conceived children through one man, through our forefather Isaac, though neither of them had yet been born, and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue. Not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part?
By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion.
So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy?
You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to him who molded it, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use?
Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God.
But not according to knowledge.
But being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes.
Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him.
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
But how are they to call on him of whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have never heard?
And how are they to hear without someone preaching?
And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?
So faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So I ask, has God rejected his people?
By no means.
For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin.
God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he appeals to God against Israel. But what is God's reply to him?
I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal.
So also now there is a remnant, chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works, otherwise grace would no longer be grace.
What then?
Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall?
By no means.
Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved.
Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable his ways.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a holy and living sacrifice, acceptable to the Lord, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with a brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Do not be slothful in zeal, Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord.
Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For as it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. Now, pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed.
Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not covet, you shall not steal, are all summed up in this one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Besides this, you know the time. The hour is at hand for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Therefore, let us put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light.
Now may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.
Uh-huh.
I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain.
Spain?
And be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem.
Jerusalem?
Bringing aid to the saints. When I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. And I know that when I come, I will come
in the fullness of the blessing of Christ.
I appeal to you, brothers, watch out for those who create divisions and obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught.
For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites.
And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. But your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. Only I want you to be wise as to what is good
and innocent as to what is evil.
The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Now, to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the mystery that was kept hidden for long ages,
but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith.
To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.